that's the Board of Adjustment section of Chapter 168. It's a useful thing to be aware of. You probably will rarely refer to it. Let's turn to, this is from the town's Board of Adjustment section of the town ordinance. It's fairly short and simple, and I'm not really going to cover much of it. This just tells, this just sets out the qualifications, terms, and duties, and so forth. This is amazingly, and perhaps refreshingly, short. Just for your information, that's in Section 19, Chapter 19, Article 2, is on the head of that. So, that's kind of the legal stuff. Let's turn over to page 6, and gosh, I may have used these last year, so if I did, y'all bear with me, but let's do this. Let's look at page 6. Y'all read for yourself. I don't need to read all this to you. Read the setting where it says Charlie Citizen all the way down to just before the question. Read that to yourself, if you would. I'm going to ask Gail and Brian, if you were the Board of Adjustment, how would you treat this case? What would you do?
Throw the guy out on the street.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I take into consideration, first, if it's zoned residential, then it is residential, but then again, you know, if the town is allowing other businesses in the area to operate out of their home, and they're not enforcing it on them, if they're going to enforce it on this one fellow, then they need to enforce it on everybody. And I mean, that kind of boils down the whole point for me is you can't single one individual out.
Okay. Yeah. What do you think?
No change in permitted uses may be authorized by variance.
Okay.
It's pretty simple, really.
Bingo. That's the right answer. And Brett, you raised some good...
Then why don't we go after everybody else?
What's that?
Then why don't we go after everybody
else? Well, there's what I stuck in here, this is kind of a trick thing. Some of these folks have been operating on the garages, been there for a long time,
using
the zoning, so they're probably legal non-conforming uses. Or it could be a home occupation, depending. The point of this is, Gail touched on is that you can't permit a use variance, so that's pretty clear. Okay.
Plus, if you want to look at it, also economic hardship.
Yeah.
That's not a reason for a variance.
We've all got economic hardships.
My only point was is if you got a neighbor two stories, two houses down that is operating a auto mechanic shop, which is the next item on here with different situations, but say he's fixing people's cars and lawnmowers in his garage and nobody's proposing to complain about that, then why isn't the code enforcement officer going after them in conjunction? If you're gonna hold the rule for one, you need to hold the rule for everybody.
Yeah, I think, like you see, that's a town council question, no board of adjustment.
Okay.
We've had a similar.
So I'm supposed to look at this on just this one particular.
Exactly right.
Now, I have just an outside question here. Say we do have something just like this. I mean,
we have.
Is there somebody from council that would be made aware of this, so that we?
Well, we have to look at the case, this case, and we have to make a ruling on this case.
Mm-hmm.
There could be other stuff going on down the street.
Sure.
But that's not what we're here to do.
Okay, understand.
You know, that's up to council and everybody else to handle those, and they'll bring those to us as they come up. But we can't really think about, well, that guy down, I mean, we know the guy down the street's doing it, but that's not why we're here. We're out here to
discuss
the laws and the codes for the city, and in this case, it's not acceptable. We can't grant the variance.
If there is a general problem, which we're talking about, it's up to the complaint to go to council, or somehow the council know about it and they can deal with it.
He had the option. He already had a place. He's moving from the mall to the
right. I see what you're saying. My only objection to any of it was the fact that it did state in here that everybody else in the neighborhood.
That's true. That you can't let that. It's not while we're here. Okay. Everybody else.
Yeah, we had a similar case where it not with a business, but it had to do with that. The shed. He's going to build a shed beside his house because he didn't have room in the back. Or was it in the back?
No, he turned the shed into a house.
Yes.
Yeah.
And other people had done this and it was okay and nobody got it. But, well, sorry, they didn't get turned down by previous building inspectors or whatever. We can't be concerned with that.
Okay.
We're concerned with the building inspector turning you down and you're asking us
to overturn his decision.
I can't do that.
I'm with you on that. I mean, I agree on, the law says.
I guess my only question would be, I agree with no variances. Is it our obligation, or should we at least make council aware that this has been brought to our attention through our hearings? Are we obligated?
That was my other.
Yeah, I think so. I think you could, what you could do is pass a motion, a motion to ask the chair to report to the mayor that so-and-so. Yeah, I don't think that's inappropriate at all. Particularly if it's a widespread situation that's causing a lot of heartburn in the community.
Or causing more variance cases to come before us.
Yeah.
Except that would be my other point is, the one guy, the next thing they have another guy and another guy. So if you were to actually give it to this guy and then John, you're going to turn around. You're just opening the can of worms.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you can. Okay, number two. Read that first part. There's the Billy Big Boy restores other people's cars. Some towns it could be an issue with having that one car, then you've got two, then you've got...
A couple in this town.
Just a few.
Yeah.
A couple of them used to be behind my house.
I got a nephew that lives in the county, Russell County, that has parts of about four or five cars in his backyard. It's, he calls them his resources, so... Okay, finally, anything else on that? That's pretty super. Let's look at page 8. We'll do something a little bit different here. I'm going to read the setting for, and see, Tony, if you would be board member 1, Peter be board member 2, and Gail, if you'd be board member 3 here, as Dolores? You be this is cyber, where we get down to the bottom part here.
Oh.
Okay, so y'all got that? Okay. Miss Cindy Sideboard wants to put a bedroom addition in her house. Unfortunately for her, the addition she wants to have built will encroach about 2 feet into the 8-foot side yard. The lot next to her is vacant. In fact, there is a small pond next to the parking lot, so nothing will likely be built next to her. There's plenty of room to add on the rear of the house, and she could do that, but a very large tree that gives summer shade would have to be cut down to do so. Her application says that she doesn't want to cut the tree down and is asking for a variance from the ordinance to build a side yard. She's on sewer, so septic field location is not a concern. Mrs. Sideboard represents herself before the BOA and states her case. So this is board number 1. Okay?
Ms. Sideboard, I understand your concern about not wanting to cut the tree down, but I guess you know that's because there are so many trees in the town that it's almost every time someone builds or adds onto the house, a tree is cut down. What makes your case different?
Well, I just don't want to lose the shade, I guess.
Is this the only shade you have on the lot?
No.
I'll have to say that it is a nice big tree.
Do you think that she's got a legitimate hardship?
No. And another tree.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
What's that?
Is this tree over 3 feet?
I don't know.
If it's over 3 feet, you got to go before the state, and it's going to cost you about $30,000 to cut it down.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that could come into play here is a tree ordinance, but this is, I mean, in my mind, a fairly obvious case of not really being a hardship. This reminds me of a case I do fairly regular planning assistance with Tell Lake Waccama, and they had a case for their board of adjustment several years ago where the applicant wanted a 2-foot variance on each side yard, I think from 8 to 6 or 10 to 8, both side yards. And after it's all said, and the lots were 40 feet wide, they're plenty big enough, but what it came down to is that they had these house plans, and big gosh, they wanted to build them on that lot. The lot was clearly buildable because there were other houses on similar sized lots in the neighborhood, but they had found these house plans. By gosh, they were going to build that house. Never mind, it was too big for a lot. I was more of a desperate turn to town because we didn't have a hardship. So you could run into these kind of things. They were bound and determined to have that house built on. So this is sort of the same kind of thing.
They make architects for it, right?
Well, that's right, yeah. I got two fairly long case studies from the School of Government, and I think you all know about the School of Government. Gail, you ever deal with the School of Government?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. They are a wonderful resource for all kinds of things, governmental, state government, local government. They are the kind of go-to persons. I think mainly lawyers, I suppose, but a lot of different people that give advice to DSS and local governments on all sorts of different things, dealing with state law, federal law, what have you. These are two cases I just have to pick up, and I don't recall if they were used last year or not. If they were, I beg forgiveness here, but both of these happen to be written by Rich Ducker, who is a semi-retired lawyer with the school of government, Rich and his co-worker, David Owens, are the preeminent zoning and board adjustment experts in the state on board adjustment planning law. They are the go-to people. But these are fairly long. The first one, and I don't think we'll take the time to read all this, I hit some of the highlights, but Harry had mentioned, I think it's Harry mentioned earlier, is it better to ask forgiveness than permission? But that happens to be the case here where a fellow had built a fence not knowing that it was in violation of the zoning regulations. And let me read part of that first paragraph. Tonight he will present his case for a zoning variance to the Board of Adjustment. Will the board be sympathetic or will it be, in Bill's words, rigid in applying the rules causing him to dismantle the fence? Perhaps most important for our purposes, would a decision to grant a variance in this situation be legally defensible? And you can read all the way through that, and we won't do that. It just turns out that there was a fairly significant court case in Surf City dealing with this case. But how would you handle it? And again, this is probably more than Gail Brown than others. But if you had somebody come in, for example, and built a storage shed or on the back of the yard, it was too close to the rear property line, and they had plenty of room.
Move it.
Move it. Okay.
If you build a 6-foot fence, cut it down to a 4-foot fence.
Or add a lot of dirt around it.
That's what one person did.
Did they really? Yeah. They had 2 feet of dirt?
They built like a little moat around the fence.
And the outcome?
It's still there. It was part of the landscaping.
Makes it 4 feet, right?
Right.
Holy moly. That's pretty clever.
One of the complicating issues here, just to get a little bit more of the details, there were the fence was built based on a survey that the property owners had, showed that they put the fence in the right place. Well, the neighbors didn't like the fence, and so forth. So they produced, I think, 2 surveys showing that the fence was in the wrong location. And what the court said was that in this case, the applicant or the fence builder had made a good faith effort to do the right thing. They made a decision based on the information they had from Gresham's surveyor showing where they thought the property line was. Made a good faith effort. So it could be complicated.
Was that an existing survey?
I assume it was.
Just being a builder in the town in Carolina, Curie Beach, and we have such small setbacks. I won't put anything up without a survey stamp.
Sure.
I won't touch it.
Yeah, it needs to be sealed by a registered surveyor, licensed surveyor, rather than somebody just going out with a tape measure and stepping it off and that kind of thing.
It's the cheapest insurance.
We have a similar case where a house was built on Alabama Avenue, and it was built on our side of Alabama Avenue. And the surveyor came in and did his thing and put the survey tape up and built it in our house. When it came to John to get occupancy permit, John went out to do some measuring and went, came to the Board of Adjustments for variance. And what happened was that they didn't realize that the right-of-way for Alabama Avenue was
90 feet.
And they thought it was just a standard right-of-way. And so the house was built too close to setbacks. They had to tear it down and make it down the house. We went ahead and allowed the variance.
But now, wouldn't that fall back on... Well, I guess that doesn't have anything to do with those services. Never mind. But I will ask my surveyor that question tomorrow. If it falls back on him in his general...
For all intents and purposes, that's kind of what we told them. They need to go after the... Oh, the surveyor did not come anywhere near this building when that case would be.
I would say this, and I'm not knowing all the details, but, and again, not being a lawyer, but I would say it would fall back on the surveyor.
That's what if you...
Now, a good surveyor hopefully has, or a smart surveyor has, errors and omissions insurance. Because they have made mistakes, or mis-surveyed, or whatever. But I think you go back to surveyor, especially, I mean, obviously, if he if he seals and certifies that it is true, it's okay.
Well, that, I think that particular case prompted both Carolina Beach and Curie Beach to put into effect survey foundation. We had to have a survey foundation.
Okay.
It's supposed to be presented to the building inspector. Preferably
before
we start construction. To a few of us that have been around for a while, but it, for the most part, we have to have a survey foundation.
That's good. Something good, yeah.
Well, you only lose the foundation.
Okay, let's look at the other case here. By the way, if anybody is so inclined, these two, the one we just looked at and this one here, are part of, are on the School of Government's website, their blog section. A number of lawyers or faculty members up there write blogs, and Rich Ducker and Dave Owens have got probably a couple dozen blogs dealing with all kinds of different things. And if you have a moment of to breeze through these, they're kind of interesting. I don't know. I guess Gail, not keep picking on you, but I guess they do the DSS stuff too. I don't know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. You name what they've written about it. Hardship, reasonable use of land, and zoning variances. Why don't you read the first two paragraphs there, or just the first two paragraphs there, if you would. Let's flip over to page 12, the next to last paragraph there, and I'll read this out loud. For North Carolina local government to grant a zoning variance, the unit must at a minimum find that the property owner has been denied reasonable and significant use of his property, and that this language should be included in order standards. Alternatively, the ordinance may include a requirement that the property owner show that he or she can make no reasonable return from or make no reasonable use of the property without variance. There's a difference between the two legal standards, but only a slight one. Given the kind of variance that education received by most local governments, it's unlikely that the standards enunciated will weigh in Williams, which we didn't talk about, the property type will make a difference in the outcome of most cases. The thing to remember is that both standards demand that a property owner must claim more than financial loss or mere inconvenience to qualify for a variance. That gets back to what I was talking about, the hobby shop thing. And I think, and I feel like based on the discussion I've heard from y'all tonight, you've got a pretty good grip on what a reasonable hardship is and what practical difficulties are, even though the word reasonable is hard to define sometimes. Any thoughts on that? Gail and Brian, have I confused you? A little bit, sort of?
Well, you can have a lot and say an owner bought a lot and he decides he wants to build on it. He goes over there and realizes, due to other building you know, he's got some water squishing through one part of his corner of his lot.
Right.
He may have to move it over a foot to really be safe and protected. That might be something that we'd have to consider is a hardship, you know, because it wasn't anything he did. It was just other stuff, you know, from natural runoff in other building that created water washing across his...
It could be.
Wouldn't that fall under buyer beware?
Well, maybe he's owned it for a while.
Okay, I'm just saying, if someone goes and buys a lot,
Well, say he's owned it for many years, it's not going to build on it.
Okay, and then...
All the other buildup around it has created this runoff, and it happens, you know. Everybody builds their house up a foot, moves water somewhere else.
And certainly, that's not terribly uncommon where houses are close together, and you've got a lot of impervious surface. It's not
true. But, you know, here, you know, it happens here because, you know, you take a lot of areas of the building, they build a lot up a foot, and moves the water to another.
Or you stop, or the guy builds up a lot of foot and stopped everybody else from draining their water on his lot, which and that happens all the time. Everybody's draining on that one vacant lot at the end of the street. And all of a sudden he builds a house.
Swimming pool next to my house. Just for that purpose.
What's that?
My house has been there for 40-some years. Everybody's built around me, and now I have a swimming pool. Every time it rains.
And that's because all the water used to be distributed. And that's a stormwater huge issue with both towns.
Well, it is. And, of course, we don't have much, no such thing as a hill here, so it creates other issues, too. Particularly when you have rain, you know, 5 or 6 inches rain.
Well, it's these, you know, kind of huge rains we have. I mean, normally, it's not a big deal. But, you know, we have
20 inches in 24 hours? Like that.
20 inch rain,
That was I've kind of gone through some of this fairly quickly. I think it's more of a refresher course. But and hopefully Gail and Brian will see a little bit of a glimpse of what all of this is about. Does this make any sense at all to you, Gail? A little bit of sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, no, it's not easy.
I served on the board of adjustment for Shalom for a couple of years. I think every case is different, obviously, and I think once you go to a meeting or two and see how it actually all works together, you'll get a feel for it. What I tried to do tonight is give you the foundation that's based on state law and some examples, so you'll see it's just not something that the board made up. There's actually law here that gives the foundation.
And I think usually most of our cases, the law is pretty clear.
Pretty clear.
Those people who want something to happen, try to present an emotional argument, think they should be sorry for them or get some compensation. Yeah. And you just, you know, there's a board of adjustment, you can't do that.
You've got to be pretty, I mean, we all have sympathy and empathy, but you need to leave that at home. Because you will hear some sob stories, people crying about this or that, going to lose their house, and blah, 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 blah.
I have a question. How many are actually brought to you guys a year, on average?
We've only had the one
two,
big
three.
One since I've been one.
Three. They're all at the time, so. They have to win one night.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we stay here till like 1 o'clock in the morning.
That was awful.
Yeah, but it most of the cases that come before us is just pretty much what I hear. I can't get reasonable use of my property. I need to do this. I bought this house. I want to make it, you know, here's my dream home that I want to build. I want to add all this stuff to it, so I need to move closer to the... It's pretty cut and dry.
You know that house is still for sale?
Is it still for sale?
Yeah, you know, and in that case, if they want to make a house bigger, they really don't have a hardship because they're already getting reasonable use of the property.
Yeah.
I mean, all
they just wanted a special
one. That's right. That's like that.
I don't think the courts would have solved it.
I deal with delusional homeowners every day.
That's like that case of Lake Waterloo I was talking about. They're going to build that house because they like the plans.
Yeah.
We had a guy that did a 3-hour presentation.
PowerPoint.
Single space, and I said,
and video taped it.
He's not going to read the whole thing. Every word.
He did.
And sometimes twice.
Instantly know when it was over.
And video taped it.
Any video taped it.
Death by power pole, yeah.
And yeah, he was.
It wasn't anything. He got a few pictures. It was mainly words.
Probably at about 8 point or 10.5 too or something.
Okay. Not getting on the good side of the board to start with.
It was brutal.
Yeah,
brutal.
But that was an example of a person who was looking for technicalities about the way the meeting was run.
Yes.
Remember at the end.
Yes.
And I just trying to find fault.
Critical is that you follow
in your procedure.
Yeah.
It's to appeal it, and then he threatened to, but then I don't know what happened. Never did.
Yeah, as she mentioned, it's very important to follow the procedures. Because that's what the court's going to look at, is following the correct procedure. And Gail, that is one of the Bibles of Board of Adjustment. One of the early authors of City Board of Adjustment, Phil Green, who's now deceased, wrote that. The book's got a little bit of age on it, but it's a really good resource.
So this is the procedure right here?
That's procedures and all the details. It's got case studies, a lot of advice. So that's a really good resource.
I mean, is there like an outline for procedure?
There is, but I didn't see all the rules of procedure you were doing. That should have in it an outline of how you go about hearing the case or
I put in the last two cases that were heard, so you've got two of them, and you can follow it.
Yeah, one of the nice things that Josie does and for us is when we have a hearing, these are the questions that need to be answered, and pretty much, we vote on each point, we do our findings of facts.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is outlined perfectly.
Yeah,
we don't make mistakes.
I didn't get into the findings of facts, but there are usually six or eight or so findings of fact. Is it this? And you discuss the vote about so you've got that clear cut decision that really makes sense at the end. It's a little bit tedious to go through it sometimes, but it's a good way to cover your bases.
It's a good thing to do because you do it in public,
yeah.
So everyone hears it,
yeah.
And you discuss it in public so everyone hears it. And reach the conclusion, yeah. So everybody knows what.
Yeah.
Do we use open discussions is common?
Yeah. Did you have a comment?
I want to ask a question about something completely different.
Let me make one more comment before I forget it. It's real important that if when the board does have a case that maybe particularly the applicant. Doesn't stop you in the grocery store down here and say, Brian, look, I need that variance. Or conversely, the carpenter say, Gail, that woman is a so-and-so. If you grant that variance, blah, 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 blah. You need to stay away from that stuff. And I know it's hard to do sometimes when you know people and their neighbors and their church members and all that. But you need to cut them off, and don't.
So you say you like nacho cheese or cheddar cheese?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Nacho or cheddar?
Yeah, that's right. And I know people start sending emails around. And another piece of advice talking about ethics and openness. I know it's the easiest thing in the world to do, start sending emails around. But I would strongly discourage y'all from discussing cases before the meeting by email. Have these say, hey, Peter, what do you think about this? Isn't that the woman that's on?
Keep everything public.
Oh, absolutely, because it's just not quite.
Well, somebody does a FOIA request on here.
What's that?
It's not an email, so I guess. Well, there's a private email. That's interesting.
Emails get people in trouble every day.
Yeah.
They get people in trouble.
Yeah.
Don't email a threat. Don't email anything. And stay out of trouble.
I think. Yeah, I may be wrong, but I think push come to shove, if you were discussing a Board of Adjustment case, it might be subject to state public records law. I'm not sure. Yeah.
I think he said something in there. There was like a forum of us talking about it somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
does work. That work. Now you had a comment on something else.
Yeah, I have a question because this has come up before, not in this room, but the assessment of the qualifications for Board of Adjustment says that members shall be citizens and residents of the town.
Right.
Does that mean that they actually have to live here or they can own property here?
Well, I would say risk means you live here.
You can't vote here if you own property.
No, I'm just saying, I'm just asking a question, because we do have those situations on different committees.
Yeah, not all towns have that, surprisingly, but this brings up another interesting point. A risk means you live here, and of course, now you get, well, they just live here in the summer, they just live here in the winter.
So you have to be registered voter.
That probably ought to be.
And we should be.
Well, I think, we did add that too, that I thought.
We do have a lot of business on this here, don't we?
Yeah.
You're gonna claim residence somewhere, yeah. And if you're gonna serve a committee, you gotta claim it here.
Well, that's not unreasonable. But the interesting thing, this is a bit of civics trivia.
I guess the question is, what is the right answer for?
Well, I think it depends.
I mean, can the town change it so that
the property
owners, or?
I don't think the town's implemented a lot of law school.
I think a resident is somebody who lives here.
Well, I agree.
What's a citizen?
The problem arose with one of our members at one time, and that individual owned a business, owned a property, lived here per se, and also owned a home and lived in it in Carolina Beach. Voted here, did everything here, claimed residency here, but slept in Carolina Beach. And there was a question as to whether or not that person was a resident.
And what often comes up is that there are more resident voters in the beach town than full-time residents, because all the folks that live in Raleigh or wherever register on down here to vote because they get more bang for the buck on voting. That, you know, that's a slightly different thing. But residency is kind of a tricky thing. I think it just depends. I know that's not too much of an answer, but the thing I was going to mention is a bit of civics trivia, is that you're only citizens of the United States. You're not citizens of Carolina Beach. Citizenship applies to the United States and not a town or state.
You're a resident.
So you have to be a United States citizen.
Yeah, you don't need to be a resident. I don't think
well,
you need...
My question further then is, if we have rules that are specified in here, for qualifications, terms, and things like that, if we ever got into a case that was appealed, could it be dismissed based on the technicality that one of the members is not qualified?
Well, it could be. It could be. You know, and I'm of the opinion that you don't need to be a United States citizen to serve. If you live in Kirby, you don't need to have U.S. citizenship to serve on the board. That's just me. That's just me. You know.
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
That's a question for
the council.
Yeah.
Well, the council interpreted that several times. And there's never been a clear denunciation of it. And it varies depending on which committee they're talking about.
I thought in the stormwater we voted to kind of interpret that as resident and registered voters.
For the town. Yeah. I mean, if you're a property owner, you have just
as
much say. You know,
you can't claim residence in two places. So you have a house in Raleigh, you have a house here. Okay, you live half and half. Okay, where are you going to vote?
Where are you going
to be? To play the devil's advocate, if I've got a business down here and live in Carolina Beach, I probably know as much about the town of Carolina Beach's issues as somebody who lives here.
That's
just a devil's advocate kind of thing. So.
That's true.
And why is it not possible to just question? Why is it not possible to be both? Well, if you own a business in Carolina Beach and you sleep in Carolina Beach and you're involved in both, why couldn't you serve on boards in Carolina Beach or serve on boards in Carolina?
I don't think you can claim
residence
due to complexity.
You have to be a resident
of one or the other. Yeah.
So that's what follows your voter registration. Right. You can't claim it.
Well, I mean, I agree. I think it should be where you're registered to vote. But
it's like when I moved, I have a house in Burlington, and I lived here. So I moved my voter registration here because I can't have it in two places. Mm-hmm. So I vote here, I live here, during the transition, I was more half-time, but I'm full-time here now, but I still have a house there.
Mm-hmm.
They all have houses somewhere else.
Not me.
I'm stuck right here in CV, KV.
My contact information is on that sheet. I'm just an email away. Always enjoy doing these things. I hope I've imparted a little bit of information on you.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sonny. And if once we've appreciated the time.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I don't have all the answers. So, I mean, I'll confess that. And some answers are not very clear cut, as we just discussed, but food to think about, or food to thought.
Can I ask a question that has nothing to do with what we do here, but it's a burning question I have. It has to do with zoning. It's been driving me crazy since I moved here. That federal property, and because you might know the answer to, that along 5th Avenue South, do you know what I'm talking about, where the woods are? Mm-hmm. I've noticed a lot of my neighbors will just sort of clear cut some of that federal land and use it like it's their own property and park their boats and their trailers and their trucks along that. And the town doesn't seem to care.
Back this way?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what's happening with that federal property. The town of Carolina Beach and the town of Curie Beach is about to get fined millions of dollars for encroaching on that federal property.
Yes.
And they, the Army Corps of Engineers has said, get your stuff out of the zone, out of the federal land. We've had to actually, the only thing, and it was 1962 when the wastewater treatment facility was put there, the only thing that's allowed in that buffer zone is the wastewater treatment facility. We've had to move our town garage, all our operations buildings, everything's going to have to be moved because our Army Corps of Engineers said, get out.
Is somebody going to start telling, get your boat
over
there?
The Army Corps of Engineers will come.
Because my neighbor lives.
They will come and take it and crush it. They've already done one.
I think it's a fire department. Have they not taken a boat already or something?
I'll be honest. I have not been to a meeting in the past month of work and soccer. Pleasure Island soccer. So there may be some issues, but I do know that a lot of stuff has been recently moved out of where our parking.
The ultimatum was given.
I mean, well, I've lost scene of it.
They will come and take anything that's on their property that doesn't belong.
They'll seize it.
They'll seize it and destroy it.
Well, that's less so.
Well, see, if it takes over a period of time, it gradually gets worse and worse, and then they suddenly enforce, and then
things it's been years and years and years and years and years, and now they're
30 years.
That's what lasts so long.
Well, I'm not going to
be honest. Right. Yeah, so you really aren't supposed to be honest.
That's crazy.
Yeah, right.
Well, okay.
Thank you.
I'm just going to thank Don.
Well, I enjoyed it. I'll leave if it's okay with the board, I'll excuse myself and head to Shiloh. So.
Thank you very much.
Maybe I'll see you next year or whatever.
Appreciate it. That's
sure.
Good.
Thank
say,
you.
For the best of Gal and Brian, fourth Tuesday of every month, if there's a case, it will be on one of those days. But unless we have a case, we don't meet. And so the next meeting will be the 20-something September.
The schedule says.
If the case comes up, we'll get notified, we go from there. Any other questions, issues? Okay.
20th of September.
We need a motion to adjourn the meeting. I think we do.
I'll make a motion to adjourn then.
Somebody second the motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
Okay, meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. So what day is that? 20th.
25th, I think it is.
Oh, okay. Is it Tuesday? I have an extra manual. The only one is back because I don't really need to.
Do you have one already?
I had one. They sent it to me.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Yeah.
I'd rather have the one in the nice binder.
Okay. I'll just take the extras back then. Thank you.
Three more copies of that training as well.
Okay, there's a question for you. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. All right. Good to see you again. Nice to meet you. Here. Okay, good. As usual, please. Peter?
Sit down.
I'm done, Jesse.
Yes, we're good.
Okay.
And I'll just make that change on that one page, but I've got your signature, so that's perfect.
Okay.
Yep, and you've got your schedule and your new roster.
Yep.
Did everybody get a copy?
Yeah, that was just an extra one.
Okay. Yep, yeah, our next meeting is September unless we get something.
You need some help cleaning up before they?
No.
You just gonna flip the light off and leave?
Yep.
All right.
Good, I'll lock the door behind me, thanks.
Thank you all.